fish stories. We've all heard them. No doubt there are some among us this morning who have told them. Fishermen love to talk about the one that got away, or about the biggest fish they have ever caught. And oddly enough, every time they tell the tale, the fish seems to get a little bigger, and a little bigger, and a little bigger. Now, when someone catches a fish, that is not really news, right? When a man or woman, boy or girl, catches a fish, we are not likely to read about it in the Regina Leader Post. People catching fish is a common, everyday occurrence. Catching fish is not noteworthy news that gets reported. But when a fish catches a man, now that would go viral. And we would be reading about it in the newspapers and hearing about it on the radio and television and seeing posts on Facebook and Twitter. Well, that is precisely what happened about 2,800 years ago when God sent a great fish to swallow Jonah. Some people think that this is just a story, just a parable or an allegory, a whale of a tale that never really happened. But what did Jesus say? In Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 38, then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to Jesus, "Teacher, we want to see a miraculous sign from you." He answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now one greater than Jonah is here." Anyone who says that Jonah was not swallowed by a big fish and thinks that this is just a story, a legend, a myth, is disagreeing with what Jesus said really happened. And personally, I do not want to be accused of disagreeing with Jesus. And I hope you don't either. The Bible tells us that God prepared a particular fish at a particular time to be in a particular place to swallow a prodigal prophet. And the fish obeyed. I always find that interesting when I read through these chapters. Jonah disobeyed. The fish obeyed. A little bit later in chapter 4, a worm obeyed. Jonah disobeyed. But the fish obeyed. The huge fish was at the right latitude and the right longitude at the right time and swallowed Jonah whole. Now, this is pure speculation on my part, but I can't help but wonder if the pig-headed, disobedient Jonah did not give that great fish a bad case of heartburn and indigestion. So much so that a couple of days later, the fish literally got sick to its stomach, threw Jonah up, vomiting him onto dry land. Whether the fish got indigestion or not, those are just silly questions that float through my mind. But even as incredible and initially as unbelievable as it may sound, Jonah was in fact swallowed by a great fish. Many assume it was a whale, but we cannot be certain of that. Jonah chapter 1 verse 17 just tells us it was a great fish. But my friends, God included this account in the Bible for our benefit, and God is incapable of exaggerating or lying. God tells the truth all the time. for our benefit. So what did Jonah do when he found himself inside this great fish? Well, he prayed. It certainly sounds like a reasonable thing to do, does it not? Jonah 2, verse 2, "In my distress I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave I cried for help, and you listened to my cry." This past Monday night, when prayer meeting was done, I asked Judy Brenner if she would mind reading Jonah chapter 2, since most of it is a prayer. And since Judy and Irv lead our Monday night prayer meeting, I thought it would be appropriate to have one of our prayer leaders read a prayer. And she readily agreed, and she said, Jonah 2, verse 2, was the verse she shared publicly when she was baptized as a believer. So it sounds like there's a story behind that that you might want to ask Judy about. Let me tell you a little bit more about Jonah, the person, at this point. The reading and studying that I have done in preparation for this sermon series has been fascinating. Did you know that outside of the book of Jonah, Jonah is referred to only twice in the Bible? Once in the Old Testament and once in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, back in 2 Kings chapter 14, we learn that Jonah was the son of Amittai from a place called Gath-Hepher in Zebulun, who ministered to the 10 tribes in the northern kingdom of Israel during the reign of King Jeroboam II during the first part of the 8th century B.C., somewhere between 793 and 753 B.C. In the New Testament, we find that Jonah was one of only four Old Testament prophets that Jesus referred to by name. Jesus referred to only four of the Old Testament prophets by name: Isaiah, Elijah, Elisha, and Jonah. The prophets who lived just before Jonah were Elijah and Elisha. The prophets who served during the time of Jonah were Amos and Hosea. And the prophet who immediately followed after them was Isaiah. But while Elijah and Elisha, Amos and Hosea, and Isaiah all served the Lord with great distinction, Jonah is the only prophet written about in the Bible who tried running from God. He's the only prophet written about in the Bible who tried running from God. And I can't help but wonder if that does not make Jonah someone that more of us can relate to. Someone that more of us can relate to. As you read through the book of Jonah, we learn that he was disobedient. Sounds like me sometimes. As we read through the book of Jonah, we learn that he was very prejudiced. Again, sounds like me sometimes. He was vengeful, critical. He had a bitter spirit. And in the end, he became resentful and angry with God. Very angry with God. Have you ever been angry with God? I have. And so if Jonah is someone that many of us could perhaps relate to because of all of his sins and faults and flaws, what can we learn from Jonah and his rather bizarre experiences? Well, one thing that we can learn as highlighted in the second chapter of this book, which is our focus this morning, is that when we are in the depths of despair, We can cry out to God for help, and He will listen to our prayer. When we are in the depths of despair, we can cry out to God for help, and He will listen to our prayer. Have you ever found yourself in the depths of despair? You see, sometimes when the storms of life come our way, things can get pretty tough. And we all face storms from time to time. Dr. Erwin Lutzer, 2 weeks ago, reminded us of that. What did he say? We're either going into a storm, or we're in a storm, or we're just coming out of a storm, right? And sometimes those storms that come our way come in the form of a financial crisis. You are already doing all that you can, month after month, just to make ends meet. And you budget and you spend carefully and you clip those coupons out. You try to save. And then all of a sudden, the unexpected happens. The car breaks down. The washing machine stops, or you find yourself unemployed. Or perhaps a storm comes health-related. The doctor says the test results are not very good, and we need to prescribe medication or put you on chemotherapy or perhaps surgery. Or perhaps a storm comes when a cherished relationship is threatened due to separation or divorce, or through the death of a loved one. So what do we do when those kinds of storms come our way? Jonah 2, verse 2. Probably a really good verse to memorize. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and He answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and You listened to my cry. Now, sometimes the storms that we experience are sent to us by the Lord. Sometimes when we are disobedient, just like Jonah, the Lord will send a storm our way as part of His loving plan to try and get our attention and help us turn our life around, to move us from disobedience to obedience. To move us, lovingly move us from rebellion to submission. But my friends, let me warn you. When God sends a storm because of our disobedience, when God sends a storm, it can be quite a doozy. In Jonah chapter 1, verse 4, when it says the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, the English Standard Version translation does a better job translating that Hebrew word than most other translation does. The ESV says the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea. And in verse 5, when the sailors were throwing the cargo overboard, they were hurling the cargo overboard as quickly as they could. And down in verse 15, same word, they hurled Jonah into the sea. Hurling, in my opinion, better reflects the force of the Hebrew word used 3 times in this opening chapter. But to quote Paul Mackerel in his commentary, the hurling is not the action of a frustrated deity throwing a tantrum, and taking revenge on the man who refused to do his bidding. Rather, it indicates precision and purpose in God's actions. He is not out to punish Jonah, but to turn him around and restore him. End of quote. So, sometimes the storms that we experience are sent to us by the Lord because of our disobedience. But sometimes the storms that we experience are through no fault of our own. The Bible tells us that God sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. And it logically follows that sometimes God will allow storms and trials and heartaches to come our way, even if we have been doing all the right things, even if we have been seeking to walk closely in fellowship with the Lord. In either case, whether we deserve this particular storm or not, what are we to do? Jonah 2, verse 2. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. My friends, regardless of what you are going through right now, and regardless of what the week ahead is looking like right now, please draw strength from the fact that as you cry out to the Lord, he will hear you. He will listen to you. He will respond to you. Regardless of the difficulties that you may find yourself in, take heart. God will listen to your cry. God will listen to your cry.